So true ministry proclaims him admonishing every man. If you go to a church and you hear the sermons and you don't feel reproved at times or admonished at times, I venture to say either you are hardened by the sinfulness of sin or they're not admonishing you.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we'll finish our look at what God says through his word concerning the method of true ministry.
Yes, Dave, and we need to pay attention closely, or we might be duped by the myriad of false teachers or deceived brethren leading churches these days. Okay, so let's turn and see what I'm talking about to Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Now, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing has changed. So-called church continues to do what is right in its own eyes. Later on, we're going to see in chapter 2, Paul contrasting the proclamation of Christ with those who function according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So that quote-unquote, Colossians 2:8. Instead of according to Christ, they do it according to the world's ways. What a shame. And you don't want to be taken as a kidnapped victim. You don't want to be kidnapped. The word, we'll see it in chapter 2, being kidnapped, spiritually kidnapped by these people. They come in and kidnap you, first of all, through your own desires because you want your ears tickled. But you get kidnapped spiritually rather than according to Christ, being a church that preaches him. If you're in a church that doesn't proclaim Christ from his word, admonishing and teaching, as we will see, if your church doesn't do this, you're in a bad church, in a church that is disobedient. We have false teachers or disobedient pastors at best, who have missed the focus of true ministry and substituted their own or the world's wisdom. Well, he said, Christ is to be proclaimed, admonishing and teaching every man. And by the way, this is the role of godly pastors. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is the role. Proclaiming him, and it's for every man. You say, what about the women? It's mankind, right? Men and women. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of some of the saints. No, the equipping of the saints. For the work of service to the building up of part of the body of Christ. No, to the building of the body of Christ. Until we, what? All attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about Jesus, isn't it? To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We proclaim him. And notice, there's a method to it. There's a method to this proclamation. Remember those two ing words I spoke to you earlier of? We proclaim him admonishing and teaching. Notice the first of all, we proclaim him in the context admonishing with all wisdom. It's God's word. That's what's being used. Now, this term admonishment is in the present tense, speaks of a continual habitual action. It comes from the Greek word noutheteo. Nous means to mind. Theteo means to put. Means to put into the mind. Now, nous antithemi. It speaks of giving instructions concerning belief or behavior. It carries the idea sometimes of warning, admonishing, instructing, and some say in a kindly manner. It's kind of interesting because we think of admonishment like, you better do that, right? We think of this forceful word, right? Well, I don't think it's that forceful. I think the reality is it's a warning. It's a warning. We see the Lord admonishing very graciously many times. We're going to say it. Let me share what I mean by that. Go to Acts chapter 27. This is an interesting one. This is not the Lord admonishing us. This is not in the church. This is just in a general sense. But the word is being used of what Paul says to the people who are sailing along to their destruction. He's going to say, look, something's got to change here, folks. Acts 27, verse 9. And when a considerable time had passed and the voyage is now dangerous, it's a ship voyage, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them. Look at this. Now look at how he admonishes them. And he said to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be attended with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." It's a warning. Very gracious warning. It's admonishment. "Men, this ship's going to crash up. People are going to lose their lives." Paul admonished them, okay? We know that we are to admonish our children. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we know that Eli did not admonish his kids. He didn't say, "Look at guys, stop what you're doing. It's evil." He didn't do that. Let's turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, the term translated rebuke here is, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the same word, nuthateo. Okay? 1 Samuel 3:11. "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel which both the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I'm about to do judge his house forever for the iniquity which," what? "He knew." This is iniquity. They're pretty bad kids. They were doing some real evil in the name of the Lord, in a sense, as his representatives, but they were doing evil. Evil stuff. "Because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not," Greek translation, the Old Testament, "admonish them." He didn't warn them, "Stop what you're doing, or God's judgment is coming. You got to stop, or it's coming. You got to stop, kids. What you're doing is very evil." He didn't do it. He didn't admonish them. "Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli, the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Nuthateo speaks of addressing something that needs correcting at times. It's appeal to the will based on understanding and biblical instruction. We have pastors who are to be instructing or admonishing. The term is actually used and translated instructing sometimes. You know, if you're saying, "Hey, okay, stay close here. Don't go too close to the edge because you'll fall over the side and go down 300 feet and die." That you're instructing them, but you're admonishing them, right? You're saying, "Hey, watch out. Be careful." You know, whatever it might be. And so we see here in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction," or literally admonish you. Appreciate them. Appreciate them highly. Those who admonish. Now they're going to do it through the Word of God as they preach. And we need to be careful. As I preach and admonish you, we don't want to have, you know, 300 little admonishers running around pretending to be preachers. Okay, be careful. The Lord has us in the body admonished, in a sense, differently, as we'll see. From the pulpit, I'm admonishing every person. I'm correcting everyone. I'm instructing in that sense. Every man, okay? Now, we see that later on in 1 Thess 5, he says, "In that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work, live at peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly." Now, the body is to go alongside. Those are out of step. They're out of step. Wow, you're going the wrong way. You know, you're going to bring trouble on yourself if you haven't already. You're going to bring trouble on the people around you. You're hurting yourself. You need to turn back to the Lord. You need to confess that, right? You're out of step. Now, we know that we are able to admonish one another, Romans chapter 15. But there are not many passages about us running around admonishing everybody. And also, within that, there is, like we saw with Paul, even in the midst of that deadly situation, he wasn't yelling and screaming at them. He was actually very polite in the way that he shared the danger that was coming upon them. Very gracious. And we see the Lord being very gracious to his disciples and admonishing them also. Very gracious. Okay, so first of all, if you don't like to be instructed with a little admonishment on the side, then you don't understand how God changes us and makes us more like his son Jesus. Because that is how we are built up. That is how we are matured. Christ is the head of his church, and he chooses how we do it. We don't decide. He paid for it with his own blood. And so Paul says we proclaim him admonishing every man. And that's what I'm doing as I'm preaching. I'm saying, don't do this, do this. Warning, warning, warning. You do this, you're going this way, that way, this way. Admonishing every man. We're also to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. So true ministry proclaims him admonishing every man. If you go to a church and you hear the sermons and you don't feel reproved at times or admonished at times, I venture to say either you are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin or they're not admonishing you. So notice, admonishing every man, not just a few, but everyone. And again, don't take this to go out and be little preachers admonishing everybody. The Lord allows us to be in certain relationships where love covers a multitude of sins. There are times where we need to admonish the unruly. There's times we need to do so. We encourage the weak and help the faint-hearted, right? So with this in mind, admonish every man. Then notice, he says here, the second one, and teaching every man. So there's the admonishing, it's kind of instruction with kind of a warning sense to it. And then here it is teaching. True ministry involves the proclamation of Christ, and it not only involves admonishment, it involves teaching. If there is not teaching of the word focused on proclamation of Christ, it is not biblical ministry. The teaching is not just for those in so-called teaching churches. He says, teaching every man, every man. Paul is speaking of biblical instruction. We're back in verse 28, chapter 1 of Colossians. The term teaching is didasko, and it's present tense, continual, habitual teaching, every man. Paul is speaking of biblical instruction. Every man is to be taught. We are all to be taught. Remember, Paul exhorted Timothy to give attention to the word and teaching, 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. There you go. Timothy, that's what you should be doing. Reading the word of God, exhorting and teaching. Do that, Timothy. That's what you should be doing. We know that elders are to be able to teach, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And some pastors and teachers work hard at preaching and teaching as elders also, 1 Timothy 5. And we know, 2 Timothy 3:16, that the word of God alone is profitable for teaching, first thing. And some versions will say doctrine. What doctrine means, sometimes you hear some churches, doctrine, 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 doctrine. Well, that's fine, as long as you know what doctrine is. Doctrine is that which is taught. The same word. It means teaching. Okay? Nothing wrong with the word doctrine, but we need to understand what it means. So it is the word of God that is literally that which is taught. What about the Great Commission? Matthew 20, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. We know what teaching is. We teach our children. We are naive, and God uses his word to give us wisdom. He teaches us. He helps us. Reproofs our way of life. The word of God helps us. The goal of the church is not simply evangelism, but to be taught to obey all that the Lord has commanded us in the context of a real relationship with Jesus whom we proclaim. You see, you can be taught all the stuff to obey, and Jesus could be left way out of that. We proclaim him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. You trust in him with all your heart. Don't lean your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Don't let his word lead you. Don't let kindness and truth leave you. Don't forget his word. You see, in the early church, the priority were, and God has appointed, 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, now the foundation's laid, third teachers. So the most important there, because that's what we're doing. And all the gifts work together under the head, Jesus Christ, to bring about the completeness of the body of Christ. There are differing gifts. We work together. We're together as a body to do the Lord's will. Biblical churches teach the word concerning Christ. Biblical ministries teach the word concerning Christ. And that teaching will bring about obedience. So many different methods, so many different churches ministering different ways, which is biblical. From our passage, true ministry centers around proclaiming Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man from his word with all wisdom. True ministry will in some aspect involve or support, Acts chapter 7, the continual admonishment and warning and teaching of every man and the teaching instruction by means of the word, with the proclamation of Christ. So then, biblical ministry in some way, indirectly or directly, will support the continual admonishing and teaching of the Word of God with the proclamation of Christ as the focus. Okay, so we see that. We've seen the message is Christ. The method is through the Word being taught, proclaimed, Christ being proclaimed, admonished and taught. And then notice we have the goal. Verse 28, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. There is a goal to what I'm doing here right now. There is a goal to what God has his shepherds doing, what his pastors are doing, what those who are teaching doing. There is a goal to this, that we may present every man complete in Christ. The term that, hina, with the subjunctive is the purpose. The term complete, teleos, speaks of perfect or mature or attaining one's proper end. The goal of true ministry is not happiness. The goal of true ministry is presenting complete in Christ, and in that there's joy. The term present, paristeme, means to stand before. It spoke of someone standing before a judge. We saw it earlier in verse 22 that Christ has reconciled us in his fleshly body in order to present us before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. And this is alluding to the same presentation. When we stand before the Lord, we stand before him complete. Complete. And when I stand before him complete, it sounds like a song, doesn't it, right? We stand before him. You see, the goal of true ministry is our maturity, our Christ-likeness. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. We know from Ephesians 4, I read it earlier, that the goal is maturity in Christ. To the unity of the faith and maturity, right? We see that. We know the goal is that here, that we represent every man complete in Christ. And if that's not your goal in ministry, then something is very wrong. If that's not your goal as a pastor, a teacher, that's something very, very wrong. You have the wrong goals. So let me ask you this. Are you on the right page? This effectively cuts through the ministry muck and gives us a look at true ministry. The church or ministry does not have its primary focus teaching the Word of God for the purpose of maturing the saints. It's not biblical. Now, again, there are all kinds of things that go with that. There are different elements of the body and different giftings that support that and work with that in the context of love in the body of Christ. But the primary goal of that ministry is to present as complete. And then notice lastly, we see the means. Hard work by his strength. Some of us feel go, hard work? Oh, boy. Hard work by his strength. Verse 29, and for this purpose. What purpose? The purpose of presenting them complete in Christ, right? For this purpose, also I labor, Paul says, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. This is what I do. This is how I do it. Paul labors and strives with the grand goal of presenting every man complete in Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal, that you would be built up, that you'd be more like Jesus. The Word would do its work in you as Christ is exalted in your heart. That's the goal. And so here he says, for this purpose I labor. The term labor speaks of becoming physically weary and tired. It speaks of strong exertions, working hard, striving, struggling. It speaks of emotional exhaustion. Don't let anyone deceive you. True ministry is exhausting work. Yet it's rewarding. Eternally rewarding. But it involves labor. And I find, sadly, rarely Christians expend themselves on a regular basis. There's even this view out in the Christian culture that you shouldn't get burned out. Well, the reality is, there are those in Scripture, Epaphroditus, Philippians 2, Paul praised him because he worked hard. He almost died working hard for the Lord. We see in Romans chapter 16 that Paul praises them for working hard. He says, my fellow workers in Christ who risk their own necks, to whom not only I give thanks. He says, greet Mary who has worked hard for you. Worked hard. Mary worked hard. So then we see there is toil. And sometimes that toil and labor is to exhaustion. We know in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. If you are preaching and teaching, you better do your study. You better do your work in the Word. You better labor in the Word of God. And everything else, there's labor, but it's good labor. It's toil. and all the support for this and all the different giftings that work together in concert. And notice he says it's even agonizing labor. He says, I labor striving. That term comes from the Greek word agonizai. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Agony, right? One pastor writes, you can be a lazy Christian and a lazy pastor and a lazy missionary, a lazy Sunday school teacher, lazy helper, but you'll never fulfill the word of God in your life. He says, to fulfill the word of God in your life takes maximum effort your entire life. And I believe it, and we'll see in the context of abiding in Christ by his grace. And notice that's what he says here. Striving according to his power. It's not according to your power. He's not saying go run out and labor yourself to death for Christ. You do it in accordance of how he's led you and how he leads you by his strength. By his strength. He says, which mightily works within me. For this purpose, I labor striving. Now, does that mean that if your pastor isn't always exhausted, he's sinning? Remember what the Lord told his apostles. Mark 6:30, and the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all they had done and taught. That's when he sent them out. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest for a while. Time to rest. Come away, guys. Be ministering. Rest. But we labor. And we do it by his strength, according to his power, which mightily works within me. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are adequate to consider anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And then we know that John 15, that apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. We trust him and we rely on him, yet we exert energy. Have this ironic thing, we have a real relationship and we're actually doing stuff and we're getting tired. But yet Jesus is doing it through us because we have a real relationship with him according to his power. And then he says, which mightily works within me, Christ in me, right? The hope of glory. So then, this is how we're to minister, by his power, by his strength. And it takes exhausting toil, and we're to toil for the kingdom. We know from 1 Corinthians 15 that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That day will come when we will say, death has no sting, right? We'll be praising him for what he's done. We know our toil is not in vain. So what a picture of true ministry. What a picture. There's no excuse for this church not to minister rightly. We know the word of God. We have it here. We need to follow his word. We need to obey it together on the same sheet of music, on the same page, understanding what his will is for how we function. And we'll get into the different giftings later on, but how we function together to bring about the goal of us being presented completing Christ. So I began talking about the modern evangelical mindset, different types of churches. Well, we've seen there's one type of church, the one that obeys the Lord and proclaims Christ and admonishes and teaches every man to present them completing Christ. You see, we've got flesh-driven humanistic ministry all around, and we're going to be warned. Chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, through empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Don't get taken captive. We got the Word of God. Now you know what I should be doing, and you know how to support me, you know how to pray for me, you know how what you should be hearing for a church. You know what you should be taught and admonished, the Word of God, right? And we should work together and labor and strive for this purpose.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, at the end of your message, you asked the question, What is your view of ministry?
Yes, I did, Dave, and the right answer to that question will save you from years of wasted, ineffective, Christless ministry. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to get our understanding of ministry from the Word of God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.